Go team. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we're here to give a whole bunch of icons love today because we got Steve Kenson and Dan Hauser on board. How you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
Great.
And I want to congratulate you guys on getting great power out to the masses.
Thank you. It's really nice to have the final book out there. So
yeah. Oh, man. Dan Solis, before we begin.
Yeah. Yeah, big shout out to Daniel.
Dude. I wish you could be here. That book looks amazing. 3 5-star reviews.
Did
you mention the art this time? That, thanks, by the way, reviewers.
Yep.
Like, how we got 5-star for icons, and then everyone goes, man, there's art. I understand. Trust me. The book shows I understood your non-criticism. So, yeah, if you line these two books up side by side, you'll just make me happy because you've bought all those books. And you'll see that the art is improved.
Yeah, you've definitely leveled up. But yeah, actually, 1, 2, 3, as of this morning, or no, as of the 14th, 1, 2, 3, 4, yep, you were right. My math was wrong. You have 5 5-star reviews.
That's
5. Wow. Last time I looked, it was 3, but still cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, reviewers. Thank you for looking at it and reviewing it.
And people love icons. They like to see it back. So.
Yes, and it is back, stronger than ever.
Just like the Terminator. You thought he was gone, but no,
exactly.
The power you didn't reckon on. And,
yes. And behind the scenes, Steve only yelled at me for like 5 minutes, not 10, about the lighting.
Thereabouts.
He did scream in my face, though.
Yeah. And
suddenly, instead of having a normal American accent, he had a crazy British accent. It was weird.
Right.
It was like, he gets mad, his accent changes. It was crazy. Anyway,
yeah,
little behind the scenes info for all y'all.
You're just making this up as you go.
No, Steve was actually quite nice.
Okay. Well, hey, there's got to be someone listening to this podcast who doesn't know what great power is. I know it's unlikely, but there's going to be that one guy who's just like, I thought they were talking about donuts on this podcast. What the hell? So for the benefit of that dude, can we tell him what great power is and what it does?
Sure. Great power is basically the big superpowers source book for icons. It takes the superpowers section of the book and hugely expands it, because Great Power is now actually larger than the Icons core book.
Yep.
Basically expands, refines, adds to, and just further develops the powers that you find in Icons, so that there's pretty much more of everything while still, you know, sticking to the same, you know, straightforward core system that Icons uses. So you've got tons more detail and options and the like, but it's still, you know, the same good old, you know, game system that folks like as part of Icons. So
I hadn't realized that GP was actually bigger than the main book. That's kind of
it is. The main book is 128 pages, and Great Power is 146.
Yep.
Are we gonna
go ahead? Yeah, one of the reviewers even said that it was like, nope, this is a complete revision of Icons. Not really, but I mean, there's some rules additions, rules modifications, but mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still play Icons. It's just a really awesome book.
Absolutely. I mean, folks will see we included basically a sort of conversion sheet, a PDF with Great Power that's packaged in when you download it. And, you know, it basically goes over all of the significant differences between the power descriptions in the core book and the ones that are in Great Power. And actually, there aren't really all that many when you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are a few refinements and there are a few tweaks here and there, but most of it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, and I will say this is a bibliophile and kind of a dork. I love the indexing and love the way that things are laid out in this book, like how the information is presented. It's so good, so user-friendly, and again,
accessible.
Yeah, speaking of user-friendly, I got a word from Dan Guyant. I guess we can say that he's still working on the beta for Icons Character Folio.
Yep.
I did some awesome stuff for that. You'll have little silhouettes that I've created that'll be in there that you can use. So you can, but they're gray, so you can like just draw over them. So if you like the kind of style of art that I do, you can make your own little costumes on the guys.
Yeah.
Because I made a bunch of different characters for that. And that should be going to the Kickstarter backers first as beta testers, and then it'll be going out into the free world whenever it's done.
Whenever it's done, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully relatively soon.
Okay. Yes.
Hey, when you say whenever it's done, that's a cue for me to not ask about a ballpark date, so I won't. But
I like the fact that he's mentioned beta and that he's close to being ready for beta, so that's good. And Dan usually, works really super fast. So even that he's been taking his time on this one, I've been like, well, I understand. I mean, the first ICF was really good, and then he updated it all the time until it got to the point where it didn't need any more updating. And if this one is anything like his previous work, it's going to be great. Yeah. Oh, and the GM screen came out too.
Yep. The GM screen package
is out. Yep. It's a nice little thing. Nice little icon shortcut with some great art by me. And yes, a nice, indeed. Again, layout by Dan Solis. Just believe it or not,
that was me.
Oh, wow. No, I was talking about the cover. He helped me with the cover.
Dan did a great job on laying out the cover.
Yeah, he was like, okay, well, let's do this. Bam, bam. And I was like, oh, that's just genius. And then he showed me a couple tricks in Photoshop, which I will be using ad infinitum, I guess.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
Yes. Now avoid it like dog doo-doo on the side.
Dan Solis' layout skills are legendary. People talk around campfires and whisper his name in dark hallways. It's really impressive stuff, and it's all on display here in Great Power, which I'm thumbing through as we speak.
Yes, if you get a chance to use Dan Solis on your project, don't be an idiot. Do it. The end.
Yes.
If he's available, and if you can afford it, you can... You might be able to find the 18.
He is available as a stretch goal.
Yes.
So, all right, moving right along. So we now have a Powers book that is bigger than the main book. Someone out there is wondering, hey, is there going to be a deluxe edition someday where we smash up Great Power into the main Icons book for easy reference?
Probably, well, I don't know.
I want to redo the art. I've said that on several different podcasts. Yeah. If I ever got a chance to redo all the art and icons, I would in a second.
Yeah. I mean, Dan and I both have our reasons why we want to kind of revise and update the core book. You know, Dan wants to redo the art. I want to, you know, tweak a lot of the text and reorganize some things and whatnot. Whether or not I would want to fuse it with Great Power... you know, probably not, just because, you know, Great Power just came out. You know, for me to do, oh, hey, and here's a new edition of Icons that includes everything in Great Power, would be kind of cheesy to do right following on the heels of the release of a project that people backed and are really excited about. So more likely than not, when I got around to doing a new edition of the core book, it would probably reflect all of the stuff in Great Power, but it would probably be its Powers chapter would probably be a scaled down version of the stuff in Great Power, and leave a lot of the expansive stuff in there for folks who really want the super detail. Yeah. You know, I don't really know that the evolution power needs to be in the core book, for example.
And you know, I see that there are also bits and chunks of rules parts that are out there existing in the world. We didn't get to deliver on past projects, that if we did a redo of Icons, we could like add that in there.
Yeah.
You know, like just sort of like base creation and Arch Nemesis and all this other stuff that I would love to do in a new Icons book. Again, like in redoing Villainomicon just to add all the module villains, because everybody who created like stuff for Icons, I have loved every single thing that's come past me. I'm like, oh, I love drawing this stuff. Like Theron Brett's, I believe he designed the Golden Age heroes. One of them's in Great Power even. Dust Devil, he's in there. And I got Spider Fridge into another book.
Yes, you did.
Man, that was one of my favorite things of the first hero pack, and it is one of my favorite things in Icons because it was a character. He's like, well, this is what happens. It turns into he camouflages himself as a possessed fridge somehow. So, yeah.
That's pretty much one of Dan's favorite things ever.
One of my favorite... seriously, if I could make a Spider Fridge t-shirt, I would.
I'm kind of amazed you haven't yet.
It's not for wanting. It's just my wife would not have another ridiculous comic book t-shirt in the house. She'd be like, another one? Like, yeah.
Yeah. For Hero Pack 1, I don't know if it's... Can I say this? Oh, well, it's been 2 years ago. Who cares? I did the stats for a lot of the backers characters that came in that, you know.
Yeah.
All you had was two paragraphs, and I remember getting the paragraph for Spider Fridge and all.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a Village Inn in Denver, Colorado, drinking coffee, and I didn't quite sputter on my screen, but I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this guy?
Yeah, there were a lot of emails back and forth. What are you going to do? I'm like, well, here's the picture. And it's exactly what you'd imagine. It's a effing refrigerator with a spider on
it. My part's done.
Yep. Oh, I did. I haven't even. And I apologize. I will give somebody a freebie for this at ad infinitum. But I just keep using that same refrigerator picture because it's so funny. Like, it's just a refrigerator. Oh man, thank you. Whoever, I forget who created Spider Fridge, but thank you. I'll have to thumb through your pack and find your name.
Yeah,
edit it in.
I believe I statted him up as kind of a combination of Iceman and Spider Man, but yep. But yeah, I always picture the Spider Fridge comic as you never actually see him doing anything. You just see the villains perpetrating, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, biff, bam, boom, and the fridge is just there, and everybody's
right.
Yep.
Yeah. They're all tied or webbed up or something.
From, like, Flaming Carrot Comics or The Tick, like, in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if that was a license we could actually get our hands on. Tech universe. Oh my god!
You know, after what happened to poor Marvel RPG, I'm
licenses are fraught.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Well, you know, the cost of print, like, that's what's killing it. You know, I mean, and that book, by the way, I have friends who worked on it, including you, Mike. Right, you did some work for.
I was working on the cosmic supplements. I had I wrote up the Nova Corps for Annihilation, and I had a lot of stuff in the Thanos Imperative, which we'll never see light of day now.
Ah, that's a pity.
That's life. Too bad. But it was a fun project. And when you're doing RPG work, you really have to enjoy the process, or else you're in the wrong business. So.
Absolutely.
And another shout out to Jack Norris. His writing on there was really good too. I think James did playtesting and some writing as well, and just a lot of my friends worked on that system. And if I had been able to do any writing on that, I would have been like through the roof. But yeah, it's a bummer. That's a bummer. But I mean, if they go, hey, we're doing this, we're ending this line in lieu of doing a full on Firefly RPG and dedicating the Cortex system to that, I'm pretty into that.
Well, I was talking to Cam Banks actually yesterday, and because they're going to do something new with the heroic role playing system, you know, file off Marvel, and
right.
But they don't know when, because right now everyone's just all knees and elbows hurrying to get Firefly done for Gen Con.
Oh, right. No doubt. Yeah.
Right. So, which is going to be a great game, and it's a great license. And from what I hear, they do some really cool things with the Cortex system and that. So,
You know, one of the more successful licenses out there was a Doctor Who for Cubicle 7. They have just been going gangbusters with that Doctor Who license, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a money machine. Just keep printing a new edition every time a new Doctor comes out. That's genius. New season. Oh, there's a new monster. Here's a book.
Steve, I know Dan's a Doctor Who fan. Do you really grok the whole Who thing?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's down with Whoville. What are you, a Grinch?
I never saw it.
Don't get it.
Yeah.
Start from the new stuff. Like, the old stuff, I understand. Like, I was like, seriously, Spider Fridge is like a Dalek from the old days. Like, what is he fighting a toilet for? My dad's like, shut up, there's a great show. And I'm like, I don't think so, Dad. I think you're wrong. I like Battlestar Galactica. That guy's got a flying motorcycle. How cool is that?
I tried watching some of the old stuff, you know, back in the day in like sixth grade, and I was like, wow, I could do these special effects myself with my friends in a video game. But
that's also kind of the quaint charm of it, isn't it? Like, man, I could do this.
No, I did. There is a certain Harryhausen aspect of that, where, you know, if I had the patience and wanted to move that gorilla, you know, one frame per second for, you know, 7 hours,
describing great power. The drawing. If I wanted to do that for 8 hours a day, which I did, and it was so good.
So, Steve,
look even better.
Trying to get back on topic. What is next for Icons?
Well, you're not a captain. We've already talked about the Character Folio 2, which is in the works and should be in beta soon. And we mentioned that Dan is working on HeroPack 5.
Mm-hmm.
That too should be coming along. Although we're talking about HeroPack probably like winter, Dan.
Yeah, winter. Yep. The due date for everybody to turn in their characters, which there's still a little. I mean, I haven't decided to cut it off yet. I'm letting anyone who hasn't heard of HeroPack 5 or seen the link to the RPG.net forum board that I post announcements for HeroPack on. If you haven't seen that yet. You can check it out. Again, I think probably by the end of this month, I'm going to say, hey, no more availability. and then July 15th is when everyone turns everything in, and July 15th is when everything gets drawn and sorted out. So from July until whenever. Just bear in mind that Gen Con's in August, so that'll take up part of the month, but the rest of that is pretty much icons-related stuff.
And I've got another new adventure from Dane Liebarger, who did Casino of Corruption. That is in production right now, called Operation Shatterstone. Dan and I are talking about art for that, so that's coming along and probably will be the next immediate release, unless one of the other in production things finishes up before that.
If Steve allows it, I'll be showing, like, I'll probably do a little bit more openness on how I do covers, and I'll show, like, a step-by-step for the cover on Facebook and Twitters and all the stuff that people can follow me on. If you don't follow me on Twitter, that's fine, but my Twitter is at TipSwitchDan. Just look for it, and you'll find me. I'm there.
It's not fine at all. It's not fine.
Yeah, okay. If you're an Icons fan
and you're not following Dan on Twitter, then I just
that's
you know,
fine.
I don't even want to know you.
I'm not pushing it. I'm just saying.
Are you still?
And also on Facebook, you know that I okay. This is everyone who will ever hire me or wants to even know about what I do. That's great. If you friend me on Facebook, I am a diehard liberal. So I speak my mind. If you get to know my sister, holy crap. Flame wars. So I try not to be mean, but I speak my mind. But follow me if you dare. How's that sound?
Ooh, there you go.
That internet
challenge.
I've thrown down the gauntlet.
And Dan could use some more followers. He's got 213, and I'm catching up with him. I'm at 146.
Oh, so. Better than that.
Woo. Yeah.
215 people are following me. That's almost enough to make somebody nervous if they saw it on a street. I'm nowhere near like Dane Cook, where holy crap, like the population of the three towns nearest to me follow him. That's crazy. That's a lot of followers.
It is.
Man, if I could just turn them into Doombots. 200 Doombots. Anyway.
All right. So,
yeah, there are projects coming.
Yes, more stuff.
Yes. In addition, I am also re-releasing the Great Power Hero Pack that came out, Hero Pack 4. There's some characters that didn't get in there because they kind of came in after we had to stop because of production timing. I'm going to re-release it with those characters in it, the digital file. So I'll be sending that to Steve, and Steve will re-release it when it's finished.
There'll be an update up on Drive-Thru and RPG Now.
Yep, so as soon as that's finished, I'll have the update for you. I've got a couple characters that are going in there with their backgrounds and stuff. So you'll have extra characters for free, by the way. It's just a free update, and everybody gets their stuff in there. Some of the characters who were left out of the Hero Pack actually did get into Great Power. Also, if you see me on Twitter or any or have any questions about any of the new characters that I made up for Icons, because I did make up some new Iconics, if you spot them in the Power Use area, there'll be people like, who is that? They're not in the Hero Pack, and they're not in any other book. I made them up. I invented new characters just so I could draw some new people. I seriously did go
through. You could only draw the same characters over and over so many times.
Well, you know, here's what happened. I went through every Hero Pack, and I went through the Icon books, and I was like, okay, these powers need representation for the pictures. Nobody has these pictures. I'll make somebody up. And I was like, hey, I like this. So I made up a couple different people. One of my favorite people to draw in Great Power was Dirge. I hope everyone notices that. Mm-hmm. And if anyone out there is a writer and wants to write a module about Dirge, that's great, or I'll have to do it myself, and it'll just take forever. So
give Dan an excuse to draw Dirge more.
Yes, indeed.
Who's Come Dirge?
Dirge is the guy who kind of looks like 80s Hobgoblin with the orange cloak.
Yeah. He has the pinky gold mask and all the weird Cthulhoid things coming out of his cloak.
Yes. Yeah, his power is that he can make music that makes people go crazy because he wears, like, a Cthulhu mythos kind of magical artifact that took over his mind.
Like they do.
Like, the, you know, yeah, it happens.
Just like Rick Ashley. I gotcha. Okay.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I am scrolling through the book, and we've got Dirge, who was actually in the first Icons, if I remember right. Since you're going to tease our listeners with the idea that there's new Iconics in here, give me a page number and tell me about a guy.
Sure. Let me flip open to my copy of Great Power real quick. Let's take it just a second here.
How about page 48? Looks like there's might be a couple new ones on there. There's some guy who looks like he's controlling sharks.
Yeah. Yes.
That guy.
That guy with the sharks.
That guy with the sharks.
This is great radio, guys. Keep it up.
Yes. Sorry, page 43, you said?
Well, you know, you got to tell us to, you know, have it open in advance, man.
Sorry. Page 48, or page 50, there's a guy next to the armor power who looks interesting. Actually, it looks like a Star Knight from the Freedomverse, a little bit.
Oh, actually, that's Crimson Paladin. He's in the newest Hero Pack.
Yeah, he's in Hero Pack.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Yep. I like the design for him.
Yeah, that was a fun one. He said basically, well, it's power armor and he's red, and his stuff kind of looks like it's magical / holograms. I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's look here.
I like the guy with the binding picture who has his like bubble gum.
Yeah, gumball. Yeah,
binding effect.
Yep. He's basically Spider-Man, essentially.
Except with gum.
Yep, except with gum instead of webs. But yes, animal control.
He must have the strongest jaw ever.
Right? Jawbreakers?
Yeah.
So, cool. Animal control. Oh, that's right. He's controlling the great whites. I can't remember what I named him.
Hey, no worries. Hey.
Oh, I did. No, I do. It was a cheesy name. Onyx Octopus.
Onyx, okay.
Excellent.
And like shaped like a xenomorph, but also like a squid.
Yeah.
And it's basically an octopus mask.
Okay, cool.
Yes, fits the feet. I didn't get to draw them in the panel, but I drew three different sharks and then copy and pasted one shark, but you know, that's how it works sometimes. But yeah, I got to draw three sharks, man. Because that is a cool power. Animal control, yeah. Aquaman can only control fish. You know, a great white shark's a fish, right? So a piranha. And the dreaded Candiru is a fish. You don't want to step to that.
That's right.
I don't want to step to that. Hey, on the Krogan power, page 56, who's that guy?
Krogan. That's Locust. Yep. Locust is in the Hero Pack as well. He's actually a character, if anyone frequents the Atomic Think Tank, Cricket is a character drawn by Shinobi. He's on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his homebrew character, and he's got covers and stuff. And so when I first started drawing stuff, like when I very first started out there drawing stuff, I was like, you know what? The Cricket needs a foe. It's like the Locust. His power is that he corrodes things, and he can't control it. That's his whole motivation. Kind of Scorpion was. When Scorpion found out that his tail could never come off, he's like, no, now I've got to get it off. That's my goal. My goal is no longer rob banks. I need to work for guys like the wizard or whoever who can make sure that this thing
comes
off.
Cure me.
Yeah. So that's his whole motivation. But yeah, that's the Locust.
Okay. I know, just one last one, and I promise I'll stop. Earth Control. There's a guy with geodes coming out of his head and arms in a sort of like Doomsday's kind of fashion. Who's that guy?
Earth Control.
And that's page.
Well, also, hey, check out Duplication as well. That's Fractal.
Fractal? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Earth Control
is Volcano's archenemy there.
Yeah, Volcano's arch nemesis. I just did a redesign on him.
Oh, okay. I just hadn't seen him. I didn't recognize him from icons. So, okay.
Yep. It's actually in the Villainomicon.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
I think his name is, I want to say, but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I referenced the Villainomicon a lot less than I referenced the main icons book, so that's probably why I forgot about him. So,
yep.
In my copy of Icons.
That's Gorn, Warlord of the Molten Men.
Gorn, yes.
All right. All right, well, there's a couple more I want to ask you about. We keep on playing this game literally for 144 pages.
Evolution is Brute.
Right.
Okay.
He really does look like a little skinny guy normally, but then he evolves into Brute, devolves into him. He can also super evolve into a super brainy guy, but I didn't have time to draw him. The super brainy version of him. Sorry.
Yeah, super brainy guys always get the short end.
He can. Oh, extra body parts. I redid a picture. I redid a picture. I totally spoiled myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to redo a picture from Icons. I reused the gargoyle that I did in Icons, but I just basically redid the picture of the imp, the guy who has the extra body parts, the guy who basically has every extra body part, claws,
right,
tail.
So he has a tail.
Yep,
he has antenna.
Yep.
We don't know why he has antenna, but he does.
Yep, he's crazy extra body parts imp.
Okay, cool. I'll tell you what. Let's
fight his Doppler. He's a speedster.
Okay, all right.
Dan will keep going through the entire book, you know, if you let him.
Okay. Dan, just give us one more. Give us the coolest one you haven't mentioned yet.
The coolest one I haven't mentioned, but one of my favorites, is under Animal Mimicry, Silverback. Mm-hmm. He's on the cover of Icons, and he was one of my favorite characters drawn. I had to come up with powers. I'm like, what if his deal is he's kind of like a Buona Beast? You know, like he, but it's primates. So that's his powers. He can mimic animals, but they're primates.
Yep.
Oh, cool, cool. All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, guys, and talking about great power. Anything we haven't mentioned about the book we want to mention?
You know, just that the print edition is coming. You know, we're working out the technical kinks and keeping people up to date via the Kickstarter. And, you know, as soon as there's more news, we'll get it out there. But, you know, hopefully we'll have that, you know, available soon so folks can also get the book in print. But right now, you can still get the PDF and check out all of Dan's awesome art and Daniel Solis's great layout. And, you know, absolutely. It's a pretty looking book.
I have to say this is probably the best looking Icons book yet all the way around.
Plus, you know, there's some game stuff in there you might even want to use.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. While you're looking at the pictures.
Once you get past the art and the layout, there's actually some interesting text there you might want to check.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, yeah. Well, excellent. And there's that...
Oh, one last one. I'm sorry. The Gestalt character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's up with that?
It's one of my favorites. He's just called Binary, but it's a brother and sister who control him.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like each other. And that's it. Like they control a superhero, but they don't. They think one thinks he should be like a superhero. The other one's like, just no. Let's not be a superhero. Let's do something else. And no, it's only us. We're the only ones who can control it. So they become him. That's why they're there. And the Excellent. Sister hates superheroes, and the brother loves superheroes.
Yeah, that's a comic I would read. But okay,
yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Kickstarter? No, I'm kidding.
Right?
I don't have time.
Now the wife's asked me not to do another Kickstarter for a year or so. So I got to finish up. Stark
next year,
City
again,
Kickstarter.
Next year coming up. Binary.
Stark City is almost done. We've been giving the
yes.
to backers, and
Jason's got me drawing awesome stuff for the cosmic. Stretch goal thing.
We actually
haven't happy about that.
Told anybody about that yet, Dan, but since you mentioned it.
Sorry. Hey, you know what? Hey, Mike, you know what?
Yes, Dan.
As the idea man for Stark City, I'm allowed to be an idiot.
It's okay.
All right?
But you are, and we love you. So, yeah, we were going to give the.
I'm sorry.
As a thanks to the backers for being so patient. And also, it kind of fills in a gap in the backstory. We were going to create another neighborhood book that deals with the cosmic side, the Stark City universe. And Jason Tondreau, who, if you've read The Field Guide to Superheroes, you know.
One through four.
You know, he knows superheroes, and he's a great writer. He's doing that with the help of Steve Perrin, who's an RPG legend. And our man Dan is doing the art, along with, I believe we got some from Scott Harshberger and Jacob Blackman and Adrian Smith in there. So,
Terrific stuff.
Yeah,
Nate's stuff is really, really good, and I like Jacob's stuff too. Like, I'm really digging all the extra art in there, and thank you guys so much. I cannot thank you enough for throwing in and helping out. I thought it was gonna be a project. Yeah, I could totally do it. You know, yeah, let's design this thing and do it, Mike. And thanks, manage it, Mike. And here's some ideas, and let's do it. Great. And then Mike wrangled all of the stuff together. So Mike is a true hero. Seriously, a real life hero for getting it all together, getting it all done, and getting it all out to you guys is like 99% Mike and me going, wouldn't this be cool? And Mike's, yeah, that would have been cool 8 months ago. We can't do anything else.
Well,
that would have been great at the beginning, but no, now, forget it, Dad. No more ideas. The wife says, no more for a year. So, no more for a year.
Well, Stark City has been a lot of work. And thanks for the props. I appreciate it. But, it's, you know, we've got a team of six or seven freelance writers and all the books and deadlines. And we have, you know, over 150 backers. And, you know, it's a lot of balls in the air. As Steve can attest, running an even bigger Kickstarter with that great power. So.
Yeah, Kickstarters are a lot of overhead. You know, it takes a lot of time to run one. You know, especially, I mean, if you're going to do it well. You know, it definitely takes a lot of attention.
If you just want to fuck it up, that doesn't take much attention at all.
No, you can do that pretty easily. You can do that pretty easily.
Yes. We can easily create a steaming pile. That's no problem.
So, all right. Well, hey, I think I have talked you guys ear off. And
yep. Did you not catch the joke? Because I hope people who are at home caught the joke and will listen to this podcast and go, oh, Dan is great. Dan, that's a great joke, Dan. You guys didn't catch it, which is good. And I'm not going to talk about it other than... Please laugh and note if you got the joke. If you didn't, that's fine, but I just threw a classic in there and you missed it. And it was so good. Anyway, follow me on Twitter, FacePlace, and all that other stuff,
yes.
And follow the BAMP podcast because, damn it, it's a great podcast. And I'll be back more, people. Oh, I got ideas. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, Dan has been paroled, so we'll have him on the podcast more often.
Exactly right. I'm out of art jail for a little bit. And then Gen Con comes, and all you people with pony ideas. Speaking of which, I still am doing pony pictures, and if Daniel Solis will lay out a pony book, I would totally do a pony book.
You know, I, honest to God, people make fun of ponies, but there's nothing wrong with it. And
it's a great show, and trust me, believe me, my last two Gen Cons have been great because of My Little Pony.
You know,
if
someone would want to step up and do a My Little Pony RPG with the, you know, obviously file off the, you know, the IP numbers, but think that would be huge among a certain demographic.
I think that, I want to mention, and this has nothing to do with icons, but is it Saturday morning Cartoon Hour?
Cartoon Action Hour.
Cartoon Action Hour 3.
Yeah.
Yes. Dude, if you haven't backed this Kickstarter yet, what is wrong with your face? My buddy Steve Shepard, like one of my gaming buddies, one of my OG Mutants Masterminds first edition gaming buddies, Steve Shepard, is doing the art direction for it, and it's going to be a phenomenal book. I already really like the slasher game that they make. I've played it a few times when I've done like a horror thing with Dread, and we played that, and that's fun too. In a different way than Dread is fun, but it's back that. It's good stuff. And if you've seen some of the artwork out there, goodness gracious, it's great.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this the other day. I was talking to John Gibbons and Joe Bardalis, and this came up. And, yeah, my only problem with Cartoon Action Hour is I wish I'd thought of it first, because it's
it's
the flavor I like. But also, I'm really surprised, because some of their homages are really, really close to, you know, fromages. And I'm surprised that no one sent them a nasty letter from a lawyer, but more power to them.
I mean the image of the man guy, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
I can't be, man, guy, dude. See, it's different. It's totally
he who has the power. Yes, yes.
Yes, indeed.
I am possessing a power!
Yeah, but no, it's a great game. I love their aesthetic. I love their design. I wish I thought of it first, because I love this kind of cheesy gaming.
They turn out some pretty really very cool stuff. So.
Yeah, Spectrum Games, they do.
Spectrum Games, those guys make great games, and back this Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Just to get the PDFs and their stretch goals when they're giving everybody stuff for $10. Like, if you look at the $10, like, backer level, I was like, man, I even told Steve, I was like, hey, Shepard, if you need art, I'll happily help. I was like, no, man, everything's done. I'm like, what? Like, that's phenomenal.
That's how you do it.
How is it done that way?
How you're supposed to do it.
That doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
Yeah, but they don't. I mean, I'm happy to pimp them because I love what they're doing. Not that they need us to pimp them, because they have more than doubled their goal. They're at $10,000 right now.
Sweet.
Awesome.
So well, yeah,
also, Steve, if you're listening, Shepard, if you have Skype, you should be on this podcast, pimping this show. Don't make me do it. Well, he's also a funny guy. He's a tattoo artist as well.
Well, Dan, why don't you see if he wants to come on?
I will do that. In fact, I hope he hears this. I'll link this to him and mention his name on FacePlace.
Face place. All right. Well, hey, cool. Well, hey, we got to wrap up because, you know, we have another podcast starting in about 10 minutes right after this one.
Yep.
So,
right. And I'm on that one. That's
time
right.
And tide.
Time and tide. Wait for no man. Steve, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, Steve,
absolutely. A pleasure.
Mr. Hauser, good to have you back.
I'm always glad to be here. You know that.
And our valued listeners, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
We love both you guys.
Thanks, Mom. All right.